As you can see, this is not Siavuya sitting over there. So I'm going to ask the researcher to introduce himself, but if you look at the face, you can see the very familiar face of the committee. So without wasting any more time, honourable members, I'm going to give over to Mr. Kodziana Whiting, to take us through the presentation.
Good morning, honourable members, and everybody else. I'm a researcher for the Select Committee on Social Services. I used to work for the department with the Deputy Minister for Social Development in another life. So I'm not going to go through everything on the report. My summary is is the analysis of the 2011 Social Development Annual Report. I will mainly focus on the key priorities of the department and just mention about the AG report, some of the technical aspects and the conclusion. As an introduction, the Department of Social Development in effect has an unqualified report from the AG, but we heard the presentation yesterday from the Treasury Department to the reasons why and so on, so that won't be the main focus of this presentation. I'd like to just zoom in directly to the social development strategic imperatives, which is the key objectives for the period 2010 to 2013. It includes caring for and protecting vulnerable groups, especially children, women, and people with disabilities, strengthening families and communities, transforming social relations with a specific focus on gender and victim empowerment, providing comprehensive social security, including income support and safety net for the destitute, strengthening institutional capacity, reinforcing participation in key bilateral and multilateral initiatives. Then the department relates to the 12 government outcomes. The department also addresses government's priorities. The 2010 State of the Nation highlighted the following issues, which was the expansion of the child support grant to children over 14 years. In the next 3 years, an additional 2 million children from poor households aged 15 to 18 years will benefit. Improving the expanding public works program, which relates to community home-based care and early childhood development. Building a performance-orientated state by improving planning as well as performance monitoring. Integrating gender equity measures into government program of action. Reducing serious and violent crime. And then continuing to eradicate corruption and fraud in social grants. On page 3, I have done the strategic imperatives. And then on page 4, we go to the overview of the performance analysis. The department has 5 programs. Administration, comprehensive social security, policy development, review and implementation. Implementing support for welfare, and then community development, and strategy and governance. On the program administration, program 1, is focused on policy formulation, corporate governance, support services, including human resource management, financial and risk management, information technology and management, legal services, security services, assistance to the minister, deputy minister and the DG. On the human capital, what I could extrapolate from the report was that the department's vacancy rate was reduced from 9 to 8%. A total of 135 appointments were made, while 74 officials left the department. So as we go through the key performance areas, I will just highlight some issues to consider when you meet with the department later. The question was, does the vacancy rate of 8% include the officials who left the department? It's a bit blurry, but the focus is just that the vacancy rate was reduced. In order to enhance the formal skills of the formal skills base of the department, 105 officials received bursaries for further studies. The department continued with the internship, and 45 of the interns each secured full-time employment. A total of 61 learners completed the child and youth care learnership in partnership with Gauteng provincial government and the health and welfare sector education and training authority. All graduates secured permanent employment. So this also feeds into the job creation priority of government. As part of its recruitment and retention strategy, the department implemented the first social work exchange program with the UK. That is quite an interesting development, I would think. Then the international relations. The department continued to play an active role in advancing and in promoting the social development agenda internationally. It has bilateral agreements with Mali, Brazil, Cuba, China and the DRC, Angola and Mexico, focusing on information exchange, good practice models for poverty eradication, the training of social services professionals, social security reforms, the management of NPOs, and support at international meetings. It hosted benchmarking delegations from Tanzania, China and Kenya, which visited South Africa to study its successful social security system, youth and children programs, and community development initiatives. Continued to develop agreements with Zimbabwe and other neighboring countries. The department successfully hosted the World Social Security Forum in Cape Town. I know that some of the members were present. Also participated in the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development and the EU activities focusing on social policy and employment and social issues. As far as the information management system and technology, the department developed the Child Protection Register and the Child and Youth Care Administration, which is the compliance with the Children's Act as well as the Child Justice Act. Then issues to consider under that priority would be that the department did not meet some of the essential targets that was in the 2010 going forward strategic plan. These include the review of the policy on social services professions, the review of policy on mandatory retirement systems, the development of a draft SASSA amendment bill, and the development of the draft NDA amendment bill. I'll just try to give you a brief of some of these policies that the department is struggling with. We must remember that policy is a long process, and it's really, it's quite protracted in its nature. But social services professions, policy has been coming a long time. The white paper on social welfare is quite outdated to what the needs of the social professions today require. We have various kinds of social services profession, you know, or which come in the form of practitioners. They refer them to social service practitioners. They are referred to community developed workers. And then there's the home community-based carers. And all these kinds of workers, they need to be in a part of the social services profession in that there has to be norms and standards related to these workers. We can see that throughout the provinces, your community development practitioners and community development workers, they do different things, although they overlap in a lot of things that they do, but some have different norms and standards to the others. So there isn't a kind of parallel uniformity to it. The policy on mandatory retirement systems, we're talking there about the national retirement reform that comes in the form of a uniform pension fund that is broken into various parts. One part is where workers subsidize those that, you know, perhaps don't work, but it's kind of mandatory. Then there's also an option of people can also put away an extra bit for retirement. But the idea of it is to have one national retirement, a new retirement act that takes care of lots of issues. The SASSA Amendment Bill refers to the disability. I think we will mention it further down, where there is no definition of disability. There's no norms and standards for the Care Dependency Act. So those policies are not being implemented uniformly across provinces. You will have a situation where some person, some parent of a person, of a child that perhaps needs care dependency, they don't qualify for the grant, care dependency grant, because they work and they earn a certain amount, but that doesn't actually take into cognizance that the child needs special care, special needs, and there's a whole lot of issues around it where these children need to actually be in mainstream schools rather than to be institutionalized. So that's the SASSA Amendment Bill. SASSA is always amending the bill to also expand the grants to more people. But in effect, sometimes they are also doing the opposite. Developing a draft amendment bill for NDA, this comes in the form of developing a board for the NDA, and I think that has also been on the cards for a while, but it hasn't materialized as yet. And then we go on to the program 2, which is comprehensive social security. This program develops policies and programs to provide income support to children, elderly, disabled, households in distress through social assistance and policies that mandate employed persons to contribute to social insurance in order to prevent reversal in the fortunes of employed and the dependents Now, that had a lot to do with the retirement reform and stuff. But I'll continue on the social assistance. The department increased the number of beneficiaries in the social assistance program from 14 million. And 12,143 in March 2010 to 14,792,190 in 2011. This shows an increase of 5.2% over that year. During 2010-11, access to social assistance improved further for children and older persons due mainly to the amended social assistance policy. This policy was changed now for the ages of children as we move towards 18 years old, and for older persons, the males was effectively now increased to men to the age of 60. So now we can say that there is parity for males and females for pension at age 60. As far as the social grants and target achievements, the targets were achieved basically for the older persons and child support grant, but the others kind of, there was reductions and so on for various reasons. Older persons increase was from 2,540,257 to 2,658,969. The war veterans, they decreased from 1,218 to 969. This is just because of natural attrition as our veterans pass on. Disability also decreased. This was from 1,291,264, 1,218,916. The foster child grant, there was also an increase from 506,284 to 479,058. The care dependency grant was decreased from 119,532 to 116,039. Child support, as I said, there was an increase from 9,539,516 to 10,308,239. So there was a general increase, but in some of the targets there was decrease. The older persons increased by 4.67%, and then the amount of males increased. There was 553,787 more males receiving the older person grant. And that increased to a total of 283,765. It was not the males alone. The National Treasury approved the universalization. This is quite important. National Treasury approved the universalization of the older persons grant, which means that they're moving towards removing the means test, and this is to be phased in by gradually raising the means test ceiling up to the tax threshold. The war veterans, as I said, they declined by 20%. Disability declined by 5.6%. Foster care by 5.38%. Care dependency by 2.9%. The increase for child support was 8.6%. Issues for the members to consider. Does the department actually know the reasons for the decline? They actually do. how many people are qualified to receive grants but do not? That could be a loaded question, because, you know, in various areas, especially the remote rural areas, people still don't have ID books and so on, so they can't access grants. What is the plan to fill the gaps of people who qualify for grants but do not access them? That's also a very loaded question, but something that the department could perhaps respond to. On policy and legislation, National Trees mentioned that already. The MINMAC consolidated policy on social relief and social relief bill, the finalization of the green paper on the family, the development of a transformation strategy for child and youth care centers, and norms and standards for cluster foster care for the care and protection of children in alternative care, the Social Assistance Amendment Bill 2010 was passed by Parliament, that related to the increase for the children and as well as the for the older person grant. In proclamations relating to the commencement of the Children's Act, this was approved by the President in April, the 1st of April 2010. So the two acts came into force in April 2010. A policy for the child dependency grant, the care dependency grant, will be developed and costed and presented to Cabinet in 2011-2012 financial year. This MDF, the current one. This policy will develop an assessment tool for care dependency grant application. That is what I was talking about earlier. Then issues to consider, what are the implications of not finalizing and implementing the harmonized assessment tool? Is there an interim or alternate plan available to chronic patients to receive the disability grant? What is the progress of the green paper on the family? What are the plans and timeframes for the social relief bill? What are the reasons why the department deviated from drafting and finalizing the National Development Agency bill? Then on social insurance and social security reform, the policy on mandatory retirement was drafted and approved by the Interministerial Committee on Social Security on the 8th of February 2011. The department is working together with the Interdepartmental Task Team on Social Security Reform, and they are in the process of developing a revised approach to Social Security that could deal with international and local economic shocks. That includes developing a revised Social Security institutional framework, which is the blueprint calendar currently completed, as well as the National Social Security Fund, all retirement reform. The department has proposed that the policy-making function for Social Security should be consolidated under one department, and that a new Social Insurance Fund, which is the National Social Security Fund, should be created to provide retirement, disability, and survivor units to all formerly employed contributors will be mandated by government to contribute. Furthermore, it's proposed that the different social security agencies currently providing similar benefits should be streamlined in order to achieve efficiencies and economies of scale. The Appeal Tribunal. During the period under review, the Appeal Tribunal achieved many things, including by March 2011, they processed 41,162 appeals, which is more than the annual target of 40,000 set in the ENE. The turnaround strategy for dealing with appeals included hiring personnel via the EPWP and they increased the appeals adjudicated from 400 to 4,000 a month. That was really the impetus to getting the backlog reduced. All the new appeals relating to SASSA then were dealt with in 90 days. In terms of the E&E target, 15,000 new appeals should have been considered. However, due to the Social Amendment Act, which stipulates that all appeals have to be reconsidered by SASSA before being adjudicated, they had to actually be referred back to SASSA. So the whole process was protracted and resulted in a reduced intake of new appeals for adjudication. The tribunal established provincial offices in all the provinces, ensuring public access to the appeal service and process. Issues to consider: what is the current backlog of the appeals? What are specific issues related to the appeals? Why? Because there's various reasons for appeals. I think that mostly was around disability and foster care. And those are all kind of the questions that we want to know why. And also by province perhaps. There's lots of appeals in the KZN relative to the other provinces. This creates a red flag. Is it the process? Is it the lack of staff, access to doctors, etc.? And how has SASSA dealt with the old appeals, which was returned now to the agency? Program 3, I have to really move now, policy development review and implementation support for welfare. This program creates an enabling environment for the delivery and accessibility of integrated social welfare services in partnerships with all relevant stakeholders. As the service standards, the department developed generic norms and standards for social welfare services. The social welfare sector...
Oh, I think, can I ask your indulgence that you... let's not go into the program description, but can you go ask to set the issues to consider?
Okay.
Because by now members have the opportunity to look at the annual report.
I'll do that then.
It's also due to the fact that we started late and that the department's coming into the call.
Yes, ma'am. So I'll just zoom into the issues that we should consider around this particular priority, this program. Very briefly, it includes service standards, older persons, people with disability, social crime prevention, substance abuse, families. Issues to consider to transform older person services into community-based care and support services, and to complete a situation analysis. Oh, these are the targets that the Social Development Department did not achieve. I'll just focus on that. Then, furthermore, completion of the report on the alignment of the department policies and programs with the UN Convention as regards people with disabilities, perhaps also with people, older persons. Completion of the disability mainstreaming strategy, developing programs for prevention of child abuse, neglect, and exploitation, the pilot report on the cluster care model, audit of partial care and ECT. So these targets, they were not met, and it's quite obvious that they would have a detrimental effect on services rendered to these particular clients. On substance abuse, there was a, what is the way forward? The CDA, I think on the committee's program, they would be presenting. But essentially, they actually have a kind of a trend of submitting not submitting the reports annually on time. So that was just a kind of a reference there. Victim empowerment, Children's Act. It's very interesting how what are the challenges provinces have to implement the Children's Act. That would be quite important. How is the department monitoring the progress of the implementation of the Act? How does the Child Justice Act and the Children's Act, how do they, you know, relate? How, what are the challenges? How is it integrated? And then how does the, is the department dealing with unaccompanied minors coming into the country? Because that was also highlighted as a problem, as an issue. We continue with community development, which includes HIV, service standards, youth development, sustainable livelihoods, NPOs, issues to consider, the target that wasn't met by the department was to train staff in all provinces to implement social behavior change programs. They did not assess the impact of the Love Life program, didn't establish an interdepartmental committee for managing the Love Life program. Then three provinces to implement strategy for improving home community-based care management capacity. It wasn't done. They didn't establish occupational framework for social services to professionalize community development. Discussion on norms and standards for community development practice wasn't developed. They did not train the Masipuzo here to practitioners. The NPO registration and compliance wasn't developed. And then the department indicated that it did not develop the ICDPs since it is a local government function. This ICDP relates to the integrated development plans at the municipal level. Why was it included in the 2010 strategic plan? Lastly, the last program, strategy and governance, strategic planning, involves monitoring and evaluation, population and development, social policy, special projects. To consider here, the department deviated. The training by the consultants did not take place due to financial constraints. That is very important because it means that the consultants didn't transfer skills. Then the monetary framework for the three provincial departments wasn't achieved due to donor funding. The HR issues about beneficiary surveys, research on teenage pregnancy, what is the concern that HRC raised, the implementing the population and advocacy. There was supposed to be a research ESG research strategy, then about the entities oversight and management strategy. There wasn't a performance management framework for public entities. They didn't conduct institutional performance reviews of accounting authorities. That is for the entities, the NDA, CASA, and the board. They didn't conclude annual delivery agreement with public entities. There wasn't a review of the governance aspects of the founding legislation. And where are the details of the study services to the youth gap analysis? What are the details for the EPWP workers' pay, and what is the details of the PUSA with the initiative for social PUSA wisely? Then the Auditor General report gave the department a qualified audit. I think the Treasury Department did explain yesterday that it's more because of not of their own doing, but of the doing, that the department received a qualified audit. The AG was unable to satisfy as to the equivalence of social assistance grant expenditure, this is the reason, with an approximate value of 891 million. As you can see, it's actually a vast difference for the 2019 amount of 10.5 billion. So that is why the IT office mentioned yesterday that perhaps they didn't consider such a large amount. Hence, SASSA got an unqualified report, but not a department. And then the dual accountability relationship between the department and the SASSA over social assistance grants, and the status of the current relationship therefore results in actions of SASSA having an impact on the audit report of the department. Issues to consider is just that, you know, it's that relationship of accountability that needs to be strengthened, because as the recent changes yesterday, that is not actually going to change. That relationship will still continue into the future. And then what is the department doing to ensure that the dual account, that the relationship does not compromise each other's credibility? This question has been asked before. There was supposed to be a discussion on it, so perhaps there should be more light on it. The technical aspects, the report was submitted together with the agencies on time before the 30th of September. And then just in conclusion, the department made a good attempt to meet the targets, albeit that some targets were missed. In the reporting, the department provides reasons on why and how it deviated from its targets, but these are not always well aligned to the strategic targets mentioned in the strategic plan. There are no time frame commitments. The department needed to set itself a realistic target and also needs to put time frames on the targets, as this would enhance Parliament's oversight responsibility. Performance related to policy development function is a challenge as it relates to the targets and indicators. That is all that I can report. If there's any questions.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Wajji. It was a very good presentation. I think you made a very good analysis of the annual report. I think there's still a performance, the outcomes of the performance audit is still outstanding. I think there's a performance audit report that is still outstanding. But honourable members, is there any questions of clarity? Because I think the questions, our questions will be targeted, we will direct at the department. And Mr. Whiting's document just gives us more clarity on the issues raised. Honourable members, do you have any questions? Okay. So thank you very much. Our researcher is on maternity leave, and we've asked Mr. Whiting to help us out from time to time in the committee. Could the Department of Social Development come in, please? Members want a body break for 5 minutes?
Yeah, just in case.